Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Janet B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. Today is Monday, July 13, 2026. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are at page 51, the first paragraph that begins, "This world of ours has made," ending with "To death for his astronomical heresies." We'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Laurel B., 12 Traditions, Elizabeth G., readers of the text, Penny E. and Robin P., our newcomer greeter, Felicia S., and our second hour host, Abby D. The reference number for Sunday, July 12, 2026 meeting is 23,629. That's 23629. Way preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. In a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Laurel B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Laurel.
Good morning. This is Laurel B., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Illinois. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be service.
Thanks, Laurel. And I will now ask Elizabeth D. to read the 12 traditions. Thanks for stepping in, Elizabeth.
Good morning. I'm Elizabeth D., recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought to never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thanks, Elizabeth. And how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 51, the first paragraph that begins, "This world of ours has made," reading to the end of that paragraph that ends, "To death for his astronomical heresies," reading that and sharing on that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Penny E. to begin reading. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning to you, Janet. This world of ours has made more material progress in the last century than in all the millenniums which went before. Almost everyone knows the reason. Students of ancient history tell us the intellect of men in those days was equal to the best of today. Yet in ancient times, material progress was painfully slow. The spirit of modern scientific inquiry, research, and invention was almost unknown. In the realm of the material, men's minds were fettered by superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. Some of the contemporaries of Columbus thought a round earth preposterous. Others came near putting Galileo to death for his astronomical heresies. Well, good morning, everybody. This is Penny E. from South Jersey, recovered. Grateful, 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 grateful. So I'm thinking this paragraph is really giving people who don't believe or they're having trouble believing or whatever, encouragement. It's giving them support. It's giving them understanding of their disbelief. It's okay. It really is okay. You can still recover, you know. We don't have to close a book and say it's not for me. We're human. You know, we are human, and it's natural to doubt things we can't see or they're not proven. You know, that's just human nature. It reminds me of our contempt prior to investigation, you know. There's so much good stuff in the Big Book. And I'm also reminded that Dr. Silfworth says to us that you may rely absolutely, absolutely on anything they say about themselves. I took this stuff literally. I had it tattooed all over me. I was sick. I wanted help. I remember I used to hear things like, I'd rather believe in God and find out at the end that there is no God than not believe and find out at the end that there is a God. Oh, my gosh. What a mess that would be. I always believed in God. I always believed in God. Once or twice a year, you know, I prayed. I got on my knees. I prayed for my parents when they went to on an airplane. I prayed for my nephew when he was an infant for eye surgery he was going to have. But I never, ever thought that this spiritual solution, God, could solve my problem with food. And food took me to thoughts of suicide. I wanted to die. I could not live with it. I could not live without it. tell me what to do. So somehow God choreographed my life. I got to my first OA meeting, and I was excited. I was excited. I had no doubts. Thank God I had an open mind. I was always wanting, you know, like the Beatles when they went to Maharaji. I was always interested in spirituality. And if it was God, so be it. Sign me up. I was excited. I loved the spirituality I was reading about. And if this was going to solve my problem, I was going to do it. You know, here's my dues. Proof can be deceiving, though, sometimes. I mean, you know, with diet pills that I tried, I lost weight, but I gained it back. Now we have all these surgeries going on. People pay, they gain it back, you know. I tried so many other ways, but this was one that I hadn't tried. I believe that what worked for alcoholics, I believed it 100%, would work for me, a compulsive overeater. And it did. Okay. All right. Thanks for letting me share. Have a beautiful God-filled day, everybody. Love you.
Thanks, Penny, for getting us started. And I will now take a list of names who'd like to share on this paragraph. Though we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. If you shared on Thursday or Friday on any of the vision meetings, please hold back and let your friends share. Who would like to share?
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Nick F. in Tennessee.
Harlan.
Harlan. Nick.
Lisa B. from Michigan.
Gotcha. Second Lisa B. Who else? This is a great paragraph. Don't let the word fettered get in your way. It just means like shackled. Oh, there you go.
Felicia S. from New Jersey.
Felicia. Gotcha. Let's get a few more in here. You guys are going to have to make me work today, aren't you? Okay, let's start with this. Lisa B., Harlan
D. Robin P. in Tennessee, sorry.
That's okay. Okay, so we have Lisa B. in South Carolina, Harlan G., Nick F., Lisa B. in Michigan, Felicia S., Robin P., anyone else want to get in on this lineup? It may get busy after the break. Okay, Lisa B. from, gotcha, Pete. Lisa B. from South Carolina, you are up.
Oh, good morning, Janet. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I'm calling from South Carolina. I do spell it L-E-S-A. Thank you, Penny, for your lead. The people in the old world, they missed out on centuries of progress because they could not get past their fixed ideas. And it makes me ask myself, you know, what am I missing? Are my prejudgments, are my old ideas and my certainty blinding me to something that my higher power wants me to see? And that can happen to me today. Am I so convinced that I'm right, that I'm actually deaf to the experience of people whose lives have actually been changed? And, you know, so my own experience, for decades, I didn't know what I didn't know. And I walked into a meet, well, actually on this meeting, I got onto a phone meeting and full of ordinary people whose lives had been transformed. And if I had dismissed them because they didn't fit my ideas, I would have missed the greatest, and it is the greatest thing in my life. Instead, I became willing to listen. I really believe that's my higher power's grace that came in there. And I was willing to believe that maybe they saw something that I couldn't yet see. And they were willing to do what I had not done. And that's when my higher power began removing the fetters from my mind. I like the question, you know, am I missing out? And I once heard this story, I don't think it's true, but it's a spiritual metaphor, about people that Columbus encountered. And the story said that they couldn't recognize the ships because they had no frame of reference for them. And whether or not the story is historically true, I don't know. But the illustration, it stays with me. It reminds me that sometimes I don't see what's right in front of me because my mind is limited in what I think I already believe. And that happens to me with the Big Book. You know, when I read the Big Book, it's like, I swear I never heard that before. That happens to me with your voices, with your shares. I, you know, so anyways, so glad to be here and grateful for recovery. I pass.
Thanks, Lisa. And next we've got Harlan G. from Arizona. Good morning, Harlan.
Thank you. Thank you, Janet, for your service. Please don't be gentle with your reminder because there's trucks and cars and everything out here. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. For thousands of years, it was believed by people that the sun and the stars, the moon revolved, well, the moon does, but that everything revolved around Earth, that Earth was the center of the universe. And Galileo looked at the evidence that he saw and he said, you know, this is not true. It is the Earth indeed that revolves around the sun. And people said, you're nuts, you're Meshuggah. Go to a Meshuggah house and go and whatever. And that's a crazy house. But anyway, he said, no, I'm right. Here's the evidence. And they shut him up. He died in poverty. He died disgraced. For my whole lifetime, people said to me, discipline will help you. Discipline, willpower. That was the number one thing that they would drag out. Willpower will help you with your food. Willpower. You need discipline. I was hospitalized once when I was 513 pounds. I had cellulitis and I had staph infection and cellulitis. And the psychiatrist or psychologist, I'm not sure which, came to my room, and this is a professional person, and said to me that I should keep a picture of some goal, some place I want to go or thing I want to have, and put it on the refrigerator. This is a professional that said this to me. I should keep a picture on my refrigerator, and every time I go to the refrigerator, I will be reminded of my goal or the place I want to visit, and I won't eat so much. Now, this is sage advice. This is fantastic advice. Unless you are a compulsive overeater like me, there is only one solution for someone like me. Page 43 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the last paragraph of page 43, his defense must come from a higher power. Now, this doesn't come from Silkworth. This comes from Jung. Jung told this to Roland Hazard. He almost didn't. He was afraid to tell Roland Hazard because he was afraid how this would be perceived in the medical profession that did not give credence to a spiritual answer to a problem like alcoholism. He was afraid to tell Roland. He did, and it changed the world because we changed our perspective that God could and nothing else could. With that, I'll pass. Thanks, Janet, for your service.
Thanks, Harlan. Now we've got Nick F., followed by Lisa B. in Michigan. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, family. This is Nick F. in Tennessee. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Oh, great. Oh, thank you, Janet, for your continued service, and thank you, Penny, for getting us started. I'm Nick F. I am definitely a compulsive overeater. And, you know, the one thing that stood out to me, well, the whole paragraph, really, but fixed ideas. And, yeah, thinking about modern technology and all the research and things that's been done, that's great. But, like, what immediately, like, I know we're all, or if not, there's a concept called two-way prayer. I take something to God, and God himself being gives me something back. And it's important for me sometimes to write this down. Other times it comes in visions or in places where I can't capture it. That's more important to me than the next iPhone or what shape the world or the next planet they discover is, because for me right now, here in this moment, this is life and death. I was in a mom's meeting yesterday, and And I heard something that I hadn't heard before, but being a preacher at one point and growing up literally physically living in a church, having breakfast in a church basement, and then going standing in the church and being the choir and taking up the offering, something, and then after my divorce becoming an atheist, this what I heard yesterday really summed up what's happening for me. I may not have a conception of God, but I have an experience of God. Or with God. Somebody said, you know, I may not have a conception of God, but I have a experience with the Spirit. And let me tell you, something that has really tipped off my living experience right now is the fact that I don't eat sweeteners. You see, being another grotesquely obese person that couldn't bathe, I hated myself. I wanted to die. Every minute of every day, of every moment, I just wanted to be dead. And to go from that to a much, much smaller body, about 350 pounds, if I just really have to guess, from a 5X sweaty, disgusting, and nasty to something beautiful, svelte. I never thought I'd be svelte to something like that. And I was still eating sweeteners. But now to come to vision and see this shit, I mean, this is for real. This is life or death. It ain't no back corners. It ain't no slipping and sliding this. We got to be straight if I want to get this right and not have to die again, because I died again last year. You couldn't have told me that was going to be happening. And so now to this idea with God, you know, back then, Bill, there was a lot of white people. And then there were people, men and women, and now it's men, women, black people, LGBTQ. Like there's that, this thing that we've got a hold of to be so blessed and honored to be a part of. I want to go more toward the people idea, like the expansion of the Spirit, of the equality and inclusivity of everybody can get this. Everybody, no matter where you're from, no matter what you do, no matter how much you hate yourself, you can get this. Yeah, okay. With that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nick. Next is Lisa B. from Michigan. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Lisa B., recovered compulsive overeater from Michigan. something that I heard from yesterday's share about belligerent disbelief, that was me for the longest time. And since I've been in vision, I think it was last year or something like that, I finally had this major spiritual awakening, and changed my way of thinking, has completely changed about this subject. And today, the more I look for evidence of God's presence in my life and work in my life and other people's too, the more I find it. Specifically like food neutrality. Oh my God. I kept asking my sponsor, when is that going to happen for me? When is that going to happen for me? When is that going to happen for me? And it finally has. And I'm so, so grateful for that, because for the longest time I was like white knuckling it basically. And just holding on for dear life, hoping that eventually I would get there. And the fact that I cooked something for other people and had no feeling about it at all, except, you know, that I hoped that it was good for them and everything. Do I still have thoughts? Absolutely, once in a while, but it's not a compulsion and an obsession anymore, and I'm so, so grateful for that. And if I could have done that on my own, I would have done that on my own a long time ago. So it makes clear to me that I need a power greater than myself, and today I have that, and I'm so grateful. That's any time that I've thought about going back to the food, that's one of the things that helps me put that aside, is that I would block off my connection with my higher power, and I never want that to happen. So I'm grateful to be here, and thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thanks, Lisa. And next up, we've got Felicia S. followed by Robin P. Good morning, Felicia.
Good morning, Janet. It's Felicia S. from New Jersey. Grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater, and so grateful for your service and Team Monday's service. You know, this paragraph is so much hope. It accepts us exactly where we're at. Like, I'm allowed to question it, but I need to accept that there is something greater than me out there. And it's a broad and roomy highway. Nobody's going to prescribe for me what I have to believe. And that was the gateway and the entrance for me to find a relationship with my higher power. I was spending so much time fighting to be sick. I can't tell you why. It just, there isn't a God. If there is a God, he didn't care about me, blah, 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 blah. And the truth is, paragraphs like this just gave me permission to stop fighting, to surrender, and to be like, it's okay to not have all the answers. It's okay to seek. And in seeking, I have found something that I didn't even know what I was looking for, and a peace beyond my wildest dreams. And I am so incredibly grateful, because hand in hand, that came with being able to stay out of the food one day at a time. Thank you.
Thanks, Felicia. Next, we've got Robin P., followed by Pete B., and then we will take some more names. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you so much for your service and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I'm Robin P., and I'm very grateful with coverage. Compulsive overeater in Franklin, Tennessee. You know, I read this paragraph with so much different perspective. You know, I feel like it's man's self-will run riot, you know, and the worship of greed. And I feel like it's a whole new level. If Bill and Bob could see, you know, the new AI and all these predictions from these experts that, you know, it's a 25% chance that the new AI will kill all the humans, you know, and I just go, wow, this all went crazy. And I still get to focus on God and my recovery and stay in my own recovery bubble. And I am so powerless over how this technology has just taken on a race of its own that is just, in my humble opinion, is so out of control. And it doesn't matter. It just matters that I stay in this moment with my God, working my recovery, and growing spiritually and being of service to God and my fellows in spite of all this technology run riot. And, you know, I'm so grateful today for this meeting and for this program and for God. And I feel like I'm going through such an intense growth experience right now. And, you know, I've been doing co-congress. I've been working with my sponsor. I've been doing 10 steps and I am just in just a lot of grief and a lot of fear, and I just keep surrendering and knowing that God is with me even when I can't tell what I'm supposed to do. And you know, this is the thing about God, is waiting upon the Lord. You know, I get to just keep practicing my recovery and waiting upon the Lord. And I'm so grateful for you guys. I'm so grateful to be in recovery today and to know that God's got me no matter how I'm feeling. And I just got to keep working my recovery and seeing how this unfolds. If, you know, if we're meant to move to London in September, if we're meant to drive 24 hours to bring the dogs to a new home, there's one couple that wants to take them 24 hours from us. And you know, I just get to keep surrendering. You know, as someone says, surrender, surrender, surrender. God bless everybody. It was a very blessed abstinence day I passed.
Thanks, Robin. And next we've got Pete D. And then I will tell you all where we are and take some more names. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you so much for taking the meeting and really appreciate your service. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater and recovered today by God's grace and mercy. I really like the opening share. You know, it's interesting. Like, what usually gets people to abandon their fixed ideas, right? You know, the big book in the 12 and 12 under step three, it tells us that it's usually circumstance rather than virtue that drives us to an open mind, right? It, you know, usually we get to some catastrophe, like people call it a bottom, and then it causes you to reevaluate your circumstances and start, you know, considering different thoughts. And a lot of time, you know, unfortunately, you know, we tell people set aside everything you think you know for a new experience, but usually we set aside everything we think we know to everything that the group knows, right? We get into this herd mentality, this group think about what this process is and what it is that we're trying to deal with compulsive overeating. Right. And the you know, the Penny mentioned, like, what worked for OA could work in AA. And so what worked in AA? What worked in AA? Well, the first thing was that you had to completely stop, right? Like abstinence, entire abstinence. The AAs didn't measure how many cigarettes they smoked or how much coffee they drank or how much ginger ale they took in. They stopped drinking alcohol. Pretty challenging for Overeaters Anonymous because we're dealing with food, all right? But there are certain foods and certain ingredients that are injurious to the compulsive overeater. What does the doctor's opinion say about alcohol and why it's injurious to alcoholics? Right? It's not ease and comfort that's the challenge, right? It's not the effect that's the problem. It's not even addiction that's the problem. It's not what differentiates the alcoholic from the non-alcoholic or the real alcoholic from the hard drinker or moderate drinker. It's the abnormal reaction, the allergy to the substance that makes the alcoholic different. Right? And it wasn't until, for me personally, I embraced this aspect of the disease and separated all of the things that everybody told me I was supposed to be doing, weighing and measuring my emotions, right? Being a victim of the delusion that if I only manage things well, I'm going to be okay. And that's a delusion. That is not the case. Because many of us practice that management style, and many of us often return to the food on a regular basis. Entire abstinence. Now, how do you get there? And I'll shut up with this. You get there by putting it down, and you stay there by having a spiritual experience as a result of working the steps. And with that, I'll pass that.
Thank you. And we are now going to take, I think I can get about 8 more names in. So let me tell you where we are. We are, of course, in the big book, page 51, the first paragraph that starts, "This world of ours has made," through one paragraph ending, "To death for his astronomical heresies." There's some really good stuff in here in this one paragraph, and I can get 7 or 8 more names. So who would like to share?
Troy C.
Troy.
Jen F.
You guys, there's such good stuff in here. And if you haven't shared lately, or if you've never shared at all, today is the perfect.
Laura L. from Connecticut.
Laura.
Tyler W.
Someone W.
Tyler.
Tyler. Let's get 3 more names here. And if you've never shared, today is a great time. Or if we haven't heard you in a while, we would love to hear you.
Christiana K. in California.
Diana.
Vicky A.
Vicky. We'll get one more brave person in.
Chris W., New York.
Chris W.? Okay, so let's see. I'll tell you who we have, and we will just start from there. Troy C., Jen F., Laura L., Tyler W., Christiana K., Vicki A., and Chris W. from New York. Troy C., you are up. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Janet. Thank you so much for your service. This is Troy C., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. Tough crowd this morning. Glad we were able to get another lineup together here in the back half. Yeah, it's really interesting. I can come to program with my tail between my legs, not knowing what to do. And then when I'm actually presented with a way out, I get real opinionated, you know, and my version of this was spending about 18 months in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. I knew I was out of control. I knew I was desperate. I had heard about OA probably a decade before I actually came to the fellowship, hanging out in the beverage program. And when it actually came time to embark on this way out, I was just determined to find a different way. It's amazing the cognitive dissonance that I'm capable of having, that I can feel utterly painted into a corner. I can feel totally defeated by Costco pizza. And then when someone who has recovered demonstrates to me a way out, I can dig in my heels and be like, I don't know, that's kind of ridiculous. How is God going to keep me out of the McDonald's drive-thru? No. I'm going to go to atheist meetings. I'm going to go to agnostic meetings. And even there, this perverse streak that I have of wanting to be obstinate and do it my own way, even there, well, these guys are doing it wrong too. I'm really glad that the food eventually beat me into a state of reasonableness. And as I was able to do what the book suggested, which was to at least become willing to believe and ever so slowly embark on this relationship and building this relationship with my higher power. And it has well and truly revolutionized my way of life and my relationship with food and the people around me and with my higher power. It's a really wonderful path. So if you're on the line today and you don't understand how this would work for you, I really encourage you to give it a shot. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks, Troy. And now we have Jen F., followed by Laura L. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Janet. Good morning, and thank you so much for your service. This is Jen F., recovered compulsive overeater in sunny South Jersey, and I am reading the sentence where it says, in the realm of the material. And when I think about that, it makes me just think of, like, in the here and now, in this earth, in what I can see with my natural eyes. And in the realm of the material for me was so much failure, so much defeat, so much shame, so much guilt, so much just being caught up in the day-to-day of self-will run riot and what I wanted in that moment. And then it goes on to say men's minds were fettered by superstition. Well, superstition is defined as irrational beliefs that people accepted without questioning. And that was me. You know, I would look for every different diet plan out there and think that was going to be the one. Like, I would genuinely think, this is going to be it. I need to drink green tea. Or this is going to be it. I need to make cabbage soup. And I would have all these superstitions in my mind that were irrational beliefs. And I did not invite God into this area of my life until I started working these steps and realized that it was indeed about a spiritual experience and just giving God free rein to come in and take away the superstitions and offer a guarantee. And so I heard a quote once that if you aim at heaven, or I'll say at God or higher power, you get him plus the earth thrown in, plus the natural. But if I just aim
at the earth, if I just aim at what I can see, if I just aim at the material things and wanting to feed my ego and feed my self-will, I'll get neither. And so with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Jen. And next up, we have Laura L., followed by Eiler W. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Janet. Thanks so much for your service. Good morning, everybody. I'm Laura L. from Connecticut, and welcome to all the newcomers on the line this morning. What somebody said earlier in regards to putting a photograph on the fridge, my mother did that to me. She put a photo on the fridge when I was little or young. I was adolescent, and put a photo of me as an eight-year-old, thinking that that would give me the goal of not going into the fridge as much as I was. And I was probably about 10 pounds, 10, 15 pounds overweight at that point. So, you know, that was unpleasant memory for sure. And she thought she was doing the best she could to try to get me thin again. But it was, yeah. Anyway, just wanted to relay that. But fast forward in terms of a higher power and goddess, and my journey was sort of weird. I was Jewish by the law of the Torah, but was not raised in any faith. My father was Episcopalian, so his mother used to take me to church when I was young. But that, you know, every once in a while, we didn't live in the same city. And then, you know, I just grew up being pushed to be fiercely, fiercely independent, self-reliant, over-responsible. And so to admit defeat and powerlessness was anathema to me. I just could not wrap my brain around that. But I couldn't wrap my brain around a higher power and the fixed ideas, you know, that neither of my parents had faith, though they were, you know, exposed to it and one way or another. But, and we celebrated Christian holidays without the Christian meaning or the, you know, the religious background. But fortunately, somehow, what I really wanted to do was I wanted to believe. And so I studied Judaism for quite a while. I studied, Buddhism. And just learned a lot about spirituality in the 80s and 90s from friends, and studied Christianity, just everything. I wanted to learn. I wanted to believe, but I couldn't. And it wasn't until I came into OA, so desperate, suicidal, hating myself, so shamed, so disgusted by myself, that I was just ready, but I still couldn't wrap my brain around it because I've been so conditioned and conditioned myself for so many years. So I've been in program 25 years, and
it's time.
Finally, thank you, Janet. Finally, I do have faith, so keep coming. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Laura. Now we have Eiler W., followed by Christiana K. Good morning, Eiler.
Can you hear me? Okay, perfect. Yeah, this is Skylar W. from Missouri, compulsive eater. I was thinking about the idea of life being unmanageable, and I knew whenever I first came here that things were very unmanageable for me, but I didn't realize that that meant, therefore, I have to let someone else manage or that I can no longer call the shots. And whenever I met all these people that said that they don't moderate their food, that they don't make their own food choices anymore, that they commit their food, I genuinely couldn't believe that they were happy about that or that they felt freedom in that. I thought that is such a miserable way to live. There's no way that I could ever do that and be happy. I did not believe what they were saying, the evidence that they were showing me. But eventually I just said, okay, I will dive into this for a year because I have nothing to lose. Like, it can't get worse than this. And if it doesn't work, then whatever. And it wasn't until I actually dove into it that I actually submitted my food, that I actually put God in charge of this whole area of my life, that I began to see that not being in charge of my own decisions when it comes to all this is actually, it is the lifeboat. It is the safe tower. Me not being the manager of all this is free. It is happier this way. And yeah, I couldn't believe it. Just like the doubters, they didn't believe that the solar system revolved around the sun until they threw themselves in to investigate it. And so I would just say, if you're listening right now and you doubt this idea, that letting go of you being the moderator, you being the manager, I say throw yourself in. Just commit yourself completely to what everyone else is telling you that they did. And surely you will see the truth of the evidence that everyone is presenting to you. And so with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Skylar. And now we have Christiana K. followed by Vicki A. Good morning, Christiana.
Good morning, everyone. This is Christiana K., compulsive overeater in San Francisco, California. I'm so grateful to be on the line this morning. So grateful to be listening to people who understand my disease and how I feel about food. And yes, so grateful for the steps, which I feel were responsible for me getting, opening my eyes and getting rid of the old ideas that I had about myself, about eating, about what food could do for me, and about God also. I was just so desperate and hopeless. I didn't want to die, but I didn't want to keep living either, if that makes any sense to anyone. I was just hopeless, and I somebody smarter than I am said before that we are all broken. That's how the light gets in, and I think I was so broken, but that's how I was able to listen to my sponsor and follow what she was saying. Because I had tried everything, and I also came, I wanted to lose the weight, right? And I'm very grateful that I did. It was very important to me. But it was through the steps that I saw that the change, the awakening was spiritual, and that's what was needed to come first. And that's what I'm doing right now. It's maintaining, being here with you, maintaining my spiritual experience with this alive. So thank you for your service, moderator. Thank you, everybody that's online. Thank you.
Thanks, Christiana. And we've got Vicki A, followed by Chris W. Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning. This is Vicki A. from Wisconsin, claiming my seat today. I reached out and I have a sponsor as of yesterday, so I'm back, you guys. And this, you know, I don't know, I might just jump all over the place, but this reading has so many opposite thoughts of, you know, where you think the worst or you're holding on to that belief. But yet, if you look beyond that, all the miracles that have occurred since looking on your soul belief. Yeah, and that's amazing. Another part is prior to other times that I was working with sponsors, in my big book here, I have something noted on the side of this paragraph that says, argument two, try something different. And yes, that's definitely the case with recovery here, is trying something different that truly, truly works. Finding a belief other than your own. And I call it God, higher power, creator, whatever in my heart at the time. But grateful. There's no way I would be able to be where I'm at today with the good life that I have, thankfully, to my higher power. The other part that is a miracle with all of this is the unending support that comes with this type of recovery in OA and in AA. I am in both programs. But yeah, it's like if that one person didn't have that belief to step up and say, hey, I want to take this to other people that may be in my position. I don't have that literature in front of me that quotes that in the big book, but it's not quoted, but you know what I mean. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm just starting to get off track. Ugh. Anyway, the support that has been here with through all the recovery programs based on the AA Big Book, thank God. I just feel better, so much better that I've reached out and got out of my own self and my own little, I don't know, alone time that I thought I so desperately needed. But I'm back, and it feels so good. And that's all I'm going to say for now. And thank you so much. And yeah, I'm glad I'm here. I'll pass.
Thanks, Vicki. And next we've got Chris W. from New York. Good morning, Chris.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Contempt prior to investigation. It'll kill me as an addict, but otherwise it'll just make my life so small. Because I won't want to try anything new because I want to stay safe and comfortable, more like bored and uncomfortable. But I also think of a slogan I was taught a long time ago, through pain I become obedient. And, you know, I can coast as long as I want until the pain just about crushes me. And I'm either going to kill myself or I'm going to start taking some of the suggestions one by one. Maybe I can't take them all at once. But I was in two other programs before I joined OA. I started the first one 40 years ago when I was in high school, actually. And OA didn't sound fun to me. It sounded like jail. You know, here's your three square meals a day with water in between, blah, blah, blah. It didn't sound fun. But I could look at it from another perspective. I could look at it and be grateful that there is a program that will save my life because I would be dead by now. For my eating disorder. And I have a little one-year-old grandson I love to the moon. And, you know, I never would have lived to see him. He's only a year old. And both of my grandmothers died before I was born of things related to addiction, alcohol and stuff. And, you know, I know it's just the nature. I think it's just the nature of an addict to not want to try anything new, not want to do anything. It might be hard, it might be a struggle or whatever, but like I said, the pain will beat me into it if I don't want to do it. And then I find out, wow, this is so great. Why didn't I do this sooner? Why did I waste so much of my life? And so if you're new and it does sound awful, just give it a try. You can always go back to your misery. You know, that's what they said to me in Al-Anon. We'll gladly refund your misery. I'm like, I'm not miserable. But I was miserable. And it's so freeing to be here. And I love this meeting. This is the greatest. And thank you.
Thank you. And we've got 2 minutes left. So would anyone like to take us out with a 2 minute? Now down to 1 minute. Anyone who's shy? You only have to talk for 60 seconds. Who'd like to take our last share?
Priscilla H.
Priscilla H., you've got the last 60 seconds. Go ahead, my friend.
Thank you so much. And I like to outline and highlight words that jump out at me from a paragraph. And the words that jump out at me today, in ancient times, progress was painfully slow. For me, ancient times includes yesterday or maybe the day before. Progress was painfully slow, but you know what? It's today. It's always today. And when today ends, it's going to be today again the next day. Progress was painfully slow, but any progress that I experience comes from my higher power, and often with the help of people I've met in recovery. So with that, I'll pass, and thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Priscilla, for taking us out. And we will now close with a reading of the Big Book on page 164. Robin P., can you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until